This is Express FM.
Supported by Southern Co-op.
Wait for the whistle to blow. And we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
The atmosphere around Fratton at the moment is great, and that's spilled over into the training ground, and the boys are very, very positive.
Giving you a voice.
Everyone has a smile on their face. It's going really well, and it's up to us to keep that, even in a tough moment.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
What a way to celebrate Portsmouth Football Club's 126th birthday.
It drops to Sadie, tries to flick it to Bishop! 3-1! Brilliant finish by Colby Bishop. Pompey well on their way to being on the cusp of promotion.
Casley over the ball, and Casley converts! And that should be the 3 points that sees them on the cusp of the National League South title.
Both the men's and the women's sides with huge victories at the weekend, meaning their respective promotions are within touching distance. Blues striker Colby Bishop managed to brace in Saturday's 3-1 victory over Shrewsbury, and we'll be hearing from the striker on this evening's show.
We probably weren't at our best today. I don't know if it was because we played quite a few games. We just, I think, wasn't probably as tidy as we'd like to have been. And they made it difficult for us, but at the end of the day, the results are the main thing at this time of the season.
We'll also hear this evening the post-match thoughts of head coach John Messino.
The result is obviously the most important thing about the day. I do care a bit about the performance as well, but the most important thing was to come away with 3 points and push ourselves onto 90 points.
After the game at Fratton Park, we also caught up with club director Eric Heisner, and tonight we'll be taking a listen back to that interview. And you'll be getting reaction to yesterday's 3-0 win for Pompey's women at home to Plymouth Argyle between now and 7 with gaffer Jay Sadler.
The game is such a magnitude of the game, is huge. When there's such on the line, you've got to understand that pressure can creep in, and I thought we were ruthless.
We are so, so close to an historic double promotion here on the South Coast, and if you're even half as excited as we are, then you are in for a treat tonight. You're listening to Express FM, and this is the Football Hour.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Well, a very good evening and welcome to the latest edition of the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM, where I'm sure you can feel back home to. We are eagerly anticipating what could happen over the course of the next week or so. Saturday's win for Pompey over Shrewsbury puts the Blues one win away from the Championship. A victory at Bolton this weekend will confirm promotion. Likewise, the Portsmouth women are so close to the Barclays Women's Championship, they can almost taste it. Now 9 points clear of hashtag in second after Sunday's 3-0 win over Plymouth. And we'll be reviewing the events of that game later in the show. But we start the hour with Pompey's men and Saturday's win against Shrewsbury. And we'd love to hear from you too tonight, Blues fans. What did you make of the Colby Bishop Cassini-Yenge partnership on Saturday? How well do you think the Blues performed in their win over Shrewsbury? And in your mind, is promotion for Pompey pretty much confirmed, if not mathematically official yet? Or are you still not confident until it's 100% guaranteed? The Express FM app is the best way to reach us this evening. We'd love for you to send us a voice note so we can really hear your thoughts. Otherwise, you can send us a message on there as well, typed in if you don't fancy sending us a voice note. You can send us a text, your name and your message. Start with the word Express to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com. Otherwise, it's at Express FM on X, or facebook.com/PompeyLive. Don't forget that you can listen back to this and any other previous episode of a Football Hour by downloading and exploring the Express FM app, or by going to the Apple and Google podcast apps. They're all on Spotify too. We begin the show tonight by taking you on a journey back to Saturday afternoon. John Messino made 3 changes to the side that were held to a 2-2 draw by Derby County in midweek. Zach Swanson, Owen Moxon and Cassini-Yenge came in for Joe Rafferty, Lee Evans and Christian Sadie, which allowed a Pompey starting 11 to have both Colby Bishop and Cassini-Yenge feature. With Andy Moon absent, Guy Whittingham was joined up a commentary at Fratton Park by Tom Murray.
Every kick.
Left foot, great delivery.
Every goal.
Curling it past the goalkeeper.
Every game is right here.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey.
On Express FM.
We are underway at Fratton Park. Big men are up from the back. Sean Raggett making his way towards the front of the 6-yard box. Comes short, Shotnessy into the penalty area. And it's gone in. What a brilliant start for Portsmouth. And it might be an own goal. It's only taken 2 minutes, but Portsmouth have the lead at Fratton Park. The perfect start for Pompey. Udonis, it's his first chance really to run at the Pompey defence, into the box. Tries to get it across the face of the box. Loose ball in the middle, and it's a goal. It's an equaliser for Shrewsbury.
Pompey have been dominant. But it's Jordan Shipley back from suspension with his fifth goal of the season. And the ball in the middle, it was a touch and just left it beautifully for him at the edge of the box to sweep home. And for all Pompey's dominance, it's all square at Fratton Park. Portsmouth 1, Shrewsbury 1.
Feeds it down the line nicely for Kamara. Can he keep it in play? He can, towards the front stick. Yenge, he's still got it in a dangerous area. He goes down. Penalty! Bishop taken 8, scored 6. But he has a chance to score a vital goal for the hosts in front of the Fratton end. Here he lines up. Bishop sends the keeper the wrong way. And Pompey have retaken the lead at Fratton Park. 3 minutes towards half-time. And that is exactly the remedy they needed after Shrewsbury got themselves back on level terms. Colby Bishop with his 19th goal of the season. And Pompey leading by 2-1. Diagonal ball towards the edge of the box. Up goes Shocknessy. It drops to Sadie. Tries to flick it to Bishop. 3-1. Brilliant finish by Colby Bishop. And Pompey have got the 2-goal cushion that they desperately needed. And it's come with just 15 minutes to go at Fratton Park. Pompey well on their way to being on the cusp of promotion. Colby Bishop, Portsmouth 3, Shrewsbury 1. Time at Fratton Park. Portsmouth win by 3-1. They came in to the game knowing that 3 points would put them on the brink of promotion to the Championship. It got a little hairy at times, but they have done just that.
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
Well, there we go then. The highlights of Saturday's 3-1 win for Pompey over Shrewsbury Town at Fratton Park. A result which, of course, keeps Pompey top of Sky Bet League One. And they are now 9 points clear of Bolton Wanderers in third position. They were anyway, of course. Derby County in second in 82 points, 8 points behind Pompey. All three of those teams have played 42 matches, so have 12 points up for grabs. Taking a look at the other results from Saturday, Blackpool 1-0 winners over Cambridge United. Bristol Rovers were defeated 2-0 by Bolton Wanderers. Derby County weren't in action. They are in action this coming midweek due to the EFL Trophy final that happened yesterday afternoon, which, by the way, was won by Peterborough United in the dying embers at Wembley. So Derby take on Wickham on Wednesday, and Peterborough host Port Vale also on Wednesday. Those games should have happened yesterday. But elsewhere, looking at yesterday, Saturday's results, rather, it is Monday. Burton Albion 0, Oxford United 4, Charlton 2, Barnsley 1, Exeter City 1, Stevenage 0, Leighton Orient 3, Cheltenham 1, Northampton Town 2, Carlisle United 0. That result for Carlisle confirms their relegation down to League 2. Reading 1, Lincoln City 1 and Wigan Athletic 0, Port Vale 0. So looking at the table, as I mentioned, Pompey now 90 points, surpassing their record points tally from the last 7 seasons since they've been back in League 1, which was, of course, 88 in the 2018-19 campaign. They are now on 90 points with 4 games remaining. A win on Saturday at Bolton will confirm promotion to the Championship after 7 long years of waiting. Down at the bottom, we've been through the top of the table. Carlisle United, as I mentioned, foot of the table. They are relegated back down to League 2. They're joined in the drop zone currently by Fleetwood Town, Cheltenham Town and Burton Albion. With Barnsley defeated by Charlton at the weekend, that now means they can no longer catch Pompey. It is just down to Bolton Wanderers. Can they catch the Blues? We'll find out, of course. We'll start to find out on Saturday afternoon. Well, let's bring in our two guests for tonight's show now, then. And first of all, we've got Sam Stone joining us. Sam, so good to have you back on the show after over a year away from it, but for pretty good reason. You've been living your best life and exploring some really interesting parts of the world.
Yeah, I was down in Australia for a little bit too long. My girlfriend was a bit annoyed about that, but was getting myself up at 2 a.m. every night to watch all the games. Sometimes, annoyingly, I did fall asleep midway and then woke up to see we'd lost 1-0 to Cheltenham. But since I've been back, it's been brilliant. I was never going to miss this for the world, Jake. And no, it's a bit of a pinch me thing when you just mentioned that Pompey were promoted to the Championship potentially on Saturday, come 5 p.m. It's quite hard to get to grips with that.
When you hear the words, it starts to feel real, doesn't it? We could be promoted this week.
Yeah, no, and after 7 years, and well, it's not even 7 years; it's 12 years because we were in League Two for 4 years, and we nearly went out of League Two. That's how bad we were at one point, and it feels like all those years of hurt and pain are about to. It could feel really, really sweet, and I'm sure we all hope it happens Saturday.
Pepe Lacy is also among the panel tonight. Pepe, thank you so much for coming in for this one.
No worries, Jake. Yeah, it feels good to be back in the studio after a long time and doing it online now. It feels very good to be in the studio.
We've got two guests in the studio, which is brilliant.
It's unheard of.
I know, right? How close does promotion feel for you now, Pepe? Are you fully drawn into the hype and the fact that Pompey are going up, or refusing to get excited too?
I think a couple of weeks ago, I was still at a point where Pompey could still do a Pompey up until about a month ago, and then all of a sudden it started to become quite real, and then we're now one win away and it's getting closer and closer, and I'd love it to be at Bolton. I'm going up to be in the away ends, and it'd be such a good away day, but don't really care if we can get a point at Bolton and then win it at home on Tuesday against Barnsley. Don't really care. But I was sat here at the start of the season after we drew 1-1 and with Bristol Rovers in this studio, Jake, and then all of a sudden we're now a week away from promotion, so it feels amazing. So what a season it's been.
What a season indeed. 90 points on the board now, Sam. We mentioned just a moment ago it surpasses the points tally of 2018-19, which was 88. That season saw Pompey finish fourth and miss out in the playoff semi-finals. So after so many years, and you mentioned, you know, 12 years away from the championship, to be so close to promotion, it is starting to feel very real. Very real and scary.
Yeah, they're going to get it done. The odds are they're so far in Pompey's favour. And I know that might seem a bit silly, but the odds of the other teams winning all their games and us losing those, we've lost four games all season, Jake. It's not going to... It's not me being bold or anything. No. That is just the facts. This team is excellent. They know how to grind out results. They know how to get the wins over the line. And it's just hard to envisage anything other than them getting it done. The points total, as you say, has been mightily impressive. That season in 18-19, I thought we had a superb team. Jamal Lowe, Matt Clark, those sort of players. And this team has already surpassed that total with potential to add more to that as well. It'll be interesting to see. I've already eyed up the record points total, which is 98 in the 2002-03 season.
Yeah.
So that could be another target as well after promotion is hopefully secured.
Elsewhere, but affecting next year's League One lineup, which hopefully, of course, Pompey won't be in. Rotherham United were relegated back down from the Championship following defeat at home to Plymouth Argyle on Friday night, just gone. And Carlisle's loss at Northampton Town, as we mentioned before, confirmed their relegation and an immediate return to League Two. They become the first team in League One to have their relegation confirmed. Also, Northampton Town themselves, the first current League One team to confirm the retention of their status in the same division for next season. They are now officially safe from a drop, but also too far behind the top six to be able to make some sort of late push for the playoffs. Nobody in the Championship at this stage has officially confirmed their place in the second tier for next season. All teams currently from Leicester City in first to Sunderland in 13th could mathematically still get promoted, whether it's automatically or through the playoffs, and all teams between Watford in 14th and Sheffield Wednesday in 23rd could still be relegated to League One. So if Pompey are to be playing Championship football next season, who knows who we'd be playing. We'll bring you the latest on those who do confirm their place in that league, as well as any Premier League relegation permutations as well, as we progress throughout this business stage of the season. Pepe, will go through the events of that game on Saturday chronologically soon enough, but let's talk about Colby Bishop. Two goals for him at the weekend, two big ones to dig Pompey back from level pegging with Shrewsbury and fire the Blues back to winning ways. He's now on 20 league goals for a second consecutive season. It's quite some achievement.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I was on the show a couple of weeks ago and mentioned how dire our attacking lineup was this time 10 years ago. And now you've got a striker who's banged in 20 goals in League One in two consecutive seasons. And people have still doubted him. People have still said, I'd rather have Kaseni Yenge as my main striker. But Colby Bishop's hit back again, scoring four goals in his last three after not scoring for a month. So he's come back just when Pompey needed the goals, and his two goals again on Saturday were the difference. And I thought he looked absolutely amazing on Saturday, just the way he held the ball and just his build-up play and his strength and his power. It just looked like the Colby Bishop that we've seen throughout the 2 years, really, at Pompey, and his goals once again have come to the rescue.
And the first of those two goals at the weekend, Sam, a composed finish from a penalty spot to restore Pompey's lead just moments before half-time. He has missed a few from the spot since the turn of the year, but when all is said and done, if you need a calm head in a big moment to convert from 12 yards, Colby Bishop is more often than not your man.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting as well because Yenge was on the pitch. Yeah. So, and Yenge's serious confidence. We saw what he did against Cambridge United. He did old Burton, I can't remember.
a few midweeks ago.
But he dinked it down the middle. So he's got immense confidence. But for them to give the ball to Bishop, I felt confident in that one. The other ones this season, for some reason, he just looks a bit rushed to take the penalty. That was a good finish into the bottom corner. As well, just to add, this if he scores one more goal, he's matched his best ever league scoring. So that was goes back to the time when he was playing non-league as well. Yeah. So yeah, I'm sure we're going to get onto the debate between him and Yenge, but I think it's I think he gets very unfairly criticised by some of the fan base.
We're going to hear from him now, actually. Saturday's match winner Colby Bishop was first asked by Max Swatton from the Pompey media team how he assessed the game.
We probably weren't at our best today. I don't know if it was because we played quite a few games. We just, I think, wasn't probably as tidy as we'd like to have been. And they made it difficult for us, but at the end of the day, the result's the main thing at this time of the season. And yeah, 3 points.
You touched on it there. How important is it at this stage of the season, especially to just keep going, grinding out those results like you did today?
Yeah, listen, not going to look back at the end of the year if we get promoted and say, oh, that performance weren't good enough. You just need to get the points on the board. And we're getting closer and closer. We just got to keep our feet on the floor, keep grinding the results out and hopefully get what we want.
Weren't able to capitalise on that early own goal, but went into the break with the lead, that penalty from you at the Fratton end. What did John want from you in the second half?
Just probably more energy, be better on the ball. I feel like if we'd have been better, first 20 minutes we actually moved the ball really well. And the CADs seemed to have died down a bit. But yeah, just probably just be better on the ball, be braver, play better football. And I think we did that second half when we had to. And then we also managed the game really well.
Like I said, you scored that penalty at the Fratton end. But the second goal, just talk us through that one.
Yes, I mean, I just seen a little bit of space. And obviously I know Chris Sadie's a very intelligent footballer. And I thought he could play that pass to me, and it's an unbelievable pass from Chris to see it. And yeah, I mean, didn't really have to do much after that. Great ball, and it allowed me to score. So yeah, thanks to Chris Sadie.
You obviously got two of the goals. There's an own goal as well, but how much credit goes to the back line and Will Norris as well, who, you know, helped massively get these 3 points over the line?
That 1v1 at the end, I think it's gone unsaid, but if they score that, it's a very difficult game. So yeah, you need your players in certain moments. And we've got some big players here who, in big games, turn up week in, week out, and that's why we're doing so well.
What was John's message in the dressing room at the end?
Just keep going. Just keep doing what we're doing. It's working at the moment. We know we're getting closer and closer, but we just need to concentrate on ourselves. And I feel like if we do that, we'll be OK.
Like you said, we're getting closer and closer. We've hit the 90-point mark now. How are you and the lads feeling about that?
Yeah, happy. I mean, we're not upset about it. It's at the start of the season, if you said you'd be on 90 points with 4 games to go, we'd be buzzing. So yeah, we just need to keep ticking it off. It's good to be here now, but it doesn't matter if you don't get the job done. We need to worry about the next game and the 3 games after that and get the job finished.
Just finally, you're back here at Fratton Park today. How much are you enjoying the scenes at the end with the fans being able to celebrate 3 points?
Yeah, it's brilliant. To be fair, the singing at the end, like, I was having a little giggle and smile with the fans 5 minutes before the game even ended, which I wouldn't normally do, but it's just that good, the atmosphere and the buzz around the place, that sometimes you just get a bit distracted. Yeah, and there was brilliant again today, and they're going to be brilliant for the rest of the season. You can just tell, and we need them.
We just heard from Colby Bishop there. Sam, you mentioned before that interview, actually, with Colby Bishop and Cassini Yenge, both started on Saturday against Shrewsbury, something I don't think many of us were expecting. What did you make of that little partnership we saw?
I think you have to... We haven't seen it a lot, so that needs to be taken into consideration. It didn't quite work to the extent it did at Peterborough, where obviously Bishop kind of dropped into that number 10 role really well, and Yenge got the goal in the end. It is in the kind of fledgling stages, so for me, it needs to be given time, and there's no reason why it couldn't work in the future. I just think either player at the moment is probably better off being deployed on their own. And I think when you look at both of them, Yenge shows flashes, and it potentially maybe... It's a bit of a hoax, because you kind of look at him and go, he does a step over, takes it around a player. But the work that Bishop does, linking play, even his clever run for his second goal on Saturday, that's not a run you'd necessarily see Yenge make. It's kind of a third man run, and it's really smart play, and that stuff just goes unnoticed at times. So for me, there's only one man at the moment who you'd be starting off there, and I think his form shows that as well.
We're going to hear more from Sam and Pepe after the break as we continue to pick apart Saturday's win at Fratton Park for Pompey and what that does to the promotion picture. I'll also be replaying our conversation with Portsmouth Football Club director Eric Eisner from Saturday afternoon. He's been talking about the preparation for next season.
I mean, the reality is we've been planning for a long time. You never want to, you know, I use the analogy that you see the big mountain ahead of you, but you need to descend the mountain that you're on right now. But you can't climb that mountain without preparing for it. So we've been preparing for it all along.
Stick with us here on the Football Hour for more analysis from Saturday's win. That chat there with Eric Eisner. And later on, reactions to another huge win for Portsmouth women. Don't go anywhere.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
The world is your oyster. With many bus routes offering services late into the evening from 7 p.m. every day, you can take advantage of a Night Rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your Night Rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South. So whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, on a late shift, or just enjoying late night bus rides, visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Yeah, welcome back to the Football Hour with you every Monday and Friday evening between 6 and 7 for all of the latest from Fratton Park. And tonight we've got two huge wins for Pompey to look back on from the weekend. We'll come on to review yesterday's 3-0 victory for Portsmouth women at Wesley Park later on. But for now, we continue with more reaction to Saturday's 3-1 victory for the men over Shrewsbury Town at Fratton Park. Very soon we'll hear from PFC director Eric Eisner. But first, Tom Murray spoke after the game on Saturday to John Messina.
John, congratulations, another win. You're nearly there.
Yeah, I mean, the result is obviously the most important thing about the day. I do care a bit about the performance as well, but the most important thing was to come away with 3 points and push ourselves onto 90 points. I think particularly without Peterborough and Derby playing today, it was a really good opportunity for us to extend that lead at the top. And we did it. It wasn't in spectacular fashion, but we managed to get the job done.
It did get a little bit hairy at times today.
I didn't think we played particularly well, to be honest. There were a few things I was disappointed with, especially after the start that we made. So we made a fast start, obviously got the goal, and I thought we just got a bit sloppy. Second half we were okay, but we were still, I think, maybe slightly jaded from Tuesday night. It was always going to be a difficult one to bounce back from. But, you know, the biggest thing today, if you were going to offer me a 3-1 win at home, having not played brilliantly, then I'd take it.
Of course, against a run of play, Shrewsbury getting back on level terms. How pleased were you with your side's reaction to get in front back but just before half time?
I was pleased with the goal. I thought our reaction was okay. I'd rather not be in the business of reacting to going or to conceding a goal. I think we should have been a bit more proactive, been a bit more on the front foot. Obviously, it was nice to get the goal just before half time, but the team talk didn't change at half time. It was much of the same. I thought we needed to improve a lot, and we did that in spells in the second half, but I didn't think we did it consistently enough. But again, I feel like I'm probably being a bit negative here because it's a really, really good result, and we've pushed ourselves into a brilliant position.
And Colby Bishop now got 20 goals in the last two seasons. I mean, what an asset to have up front.
I mean, it's a fantastic achievement, I think, to do it last year in the side that's, I guess, was probably struggling in terms of where we were in the lead position was a fantastic achievement. And then it was, I think it's quite a different feat this year where Colby hasn't played every single game. We've got another number nine who's been brilliant as well in terms of competing for that spot. And yeah, to get the four goals in the last sort of 8 or 9 days, I think it's nothing more than Colby deserves. I think he's been brilliant.
Now, you know what's on the line next weekend. How do you keep your players' feet on the ground in the build-up to that?
I think it's relatively straightforward. I mean, after the game, we don't celebrate over-exuberantly. You know, we just do what we've done all season, and that's the most important thing. And, you know, we'll just keep the guys going in training this week, do what we've done for the past however many weeks of the season. That's the key, I think, to sort of sustaining these runs and to making sure that we go into the game with level heads. Obviously, we know there's a huge amount on the game, but we've got to make sure that we try and get the job done.
Just noticing on the team sheet the omission of Tino. Is he okay? Obviously, he's just come back from injury. We wouldn't want him to miss out straight after.
Yeah, Tino's okay. He was just slightly fatigued with his hamstrings. The hamstring was the area that he tore at way back against Chesterfield, and it was just not worth the risk. He was feeling it a bit yesterday. We thought we might take a pulse on how he was this morning, but with the players that we have coming back in place of him, I thought it was a smart decision just to leave him out. And he should be fine for next week. He went out on the grass today, so he should be okay.
And right at the end, you're getting serenaded by the Pompey crowd. I mean, how important are they in just getting you over the line in games that are tricky like today?
I mean, they're massively important today. I think in a game where we didn't perform brilliantly well, obviously, it's I think it's a long way. We've come a long way, I think, from around this time last year. I think we came here on Easter Monday and we played Morecambe at home, and we were a bit dismal with the 0-0 draw in terms of the way we played. We weren't great again today, but obviously the crowd know what's at stake, and it was great. It was a brilliant atmosphere, and it's amazing to have these fans behind us.
That there was John Massino speaking to Tom Murray after the full-time whistle on Saturday afternoon. And Pepe, even after another victory, after 15 undefeated, your team top of the league, 9 points clear of third place Bolton, 90 points secured. Even after all that, John Massino still demands perfection.
Absolutely, and I think that's what you want when you want to be Pompey manager. The demand is there from the fans, and even after a win, a big win, which almost all but seals promotion, he still wants more. Mm. And if you are aiming for the championship, you need to be beating teams like your Shrewsbury's in order to win promotion. And we've seen it after every single game. He's not one to sort of rile up the crowd, is it? It's sort of down to the players. He's quite happy to walk around Fratton Park and walk in front of the away end, and he quite happily just clap the fans. And whether we see that before when we get promoted is a different question. But he's sort of more of a level-headed character, yeah. After the game. But who knows? Maybe after we win promotion, we could see a little fist pump from John Massino.
I reckon we will, Sam. I reckon he's going to unleash all of that energy that he's got within him to go. You know, your first full season as a manager or a head coach for John Massino is to have had such a great campaign. You can tell that there is excitement within him, but you can also understand why he's keeping it monitored for now until the job is completely done. Mm.
For me, I'd love to see Sean Raggett fist bumps. I don't know. I think that's what everyone wants. But yeah, with Massino, I think it's actually really interesting because we've seen it so many times with this kind of new mould of manager who come in and they get a little bit too excited too early on, giving it large to the crowd. It's great to get fans on board, but you look a little bit silly when it goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Paul Cook, for example, obviously his motto was always, you don't get too high when you win, don't get too low when you lose, all the time. But he also always kind of gave a bit of passion to the fans. Massino actually kind of lives by that kind of that motto of not getting too ahead of himself when there is a win. And if we lose, he's demanding more and we're not getting too far down. So, yeah, I think he's been a perfect example of how to kind of go about your business in management. How he quite knew that after going through Oxford's coaching system and no one really knew about him, but it's mightily impressive. And yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens when we get promoted. I feel like there's a lot built up in there, and he's probably allowed to give us one little fist bump, yeah. if we do go up.
I thought Paul Cook's motto was, "We go again, John."
We go again, John. But he always was kind of, if we won, it was like keep a lid on it.
Yeah.
But he also did kind of get a little bit ahead of himself at times. So I don't think Massino has.
Looking at the table, Pepe, 90 points on the board, 9 points ahead of Bolton. Yes, we got to play him on Saturday. It was a huge, huge match. But if you look at that table as a neutral, you probably look at Pompey and think, yeah, they're up. It's a formality now.
Yeah.
But because we're sat here as Pompey fans, we're all still very nervous, but something's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said earlier, I think up until about a month ago, I was saying on, I was on 4-0 written all over it, it's Sunday live streams, and every single week I was like, oof, okay, we're playing really well, but a Pompey's going to happen. We're going to do a Pompey, but it's not coming. It hasn't come, and I still don't see it coming. I think we'll get over the line perfectly fine. But it was... Yeah, I think we'd be perfectly fine. And you look outside and sort of when you watch TikToks or something, you've got EFL people that... And everyone's like looking at every single league, and every single league is so tight. Even League One, other than Pompey.
Other than Pompey, yeah.
We've got the biggest gap in any of the top four leagues. And you'd say you're up in the current climate, but anything can happen, obviously. Mm. But I think looking at it from the outside in, Pompey are all but done. And the run of games left, you've still got Wigan at home. Yeah. Barnsley at home, sorry. So, yeah, no, I still think we've got enough to get over the line.
Going through the events of Saturday and quickly, then Sam, the first goal came just 3 minutes into the match. And if you're one of these people who like to do the old Soccer Saturday challenge, then you've been coming to Pompey in a night out for a lot of weeks over the last month or so. We like these early goals, but these early goals are quite welcome, Sam, because it's something we spoke about throughout the entirety of the campaign that we haven't seen too much of. Despite getting all these results, we haven't seen a lot of early starts. We've had that recently.
Mm. Particularly against a team like Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
I mean, can we just appreciate for the first 20 minutes they didn't touch. They didn't touch the ball. Like they, I couldn't go to the game on Saturday. I haven't been particularly well, but I had the stats when I was watching it, because I was interested to see how much possession. It was like 90% possession, and Shrewsbury couldn't string a pass together. They did manage to turn it around a little bit, and I thought it's got a good goal.
Yeah.
But yeah, the early goal like that against teams like that is what you need. Didn't really draw them out, but it was a helping hand for sure. And the penalty as well. I mean, I think Yenge's done. I can see in real time why he's given it. I think that it happened so quickly. You see why the ref's given it. If there was VAR, I think there would have been maybe a slight alteration to that. But it was what we needed early on. The overall performance though, and this is a common theme, wasn't particularly brilliant.
No.
But Pompey haven't been overly brilliant in this 15 game winning run. We were excellent, I thought, at the start of the season, played some brilliant football, but this run is different. It's about grinding results out, and that was another one on Saturday.
Especially with all the injuries and adversity, it is just about the results at this stage rather than performances.
Also as well, can I just add that I've seen so many Bolton fans, Derby fans going on about injuries and going up, but Bolton are like, if we had our keeper Baxter, we'd be promoted by now. If Pompey had Robertson and Paul, we would have been promoted 5 games ago.
I would have been unbeaten.
Injuries happen to everyone. Yeah. So, and it annoys me a little bit. I think it's probably because they're third and they're trying to squeak into the automatics. But
trying to recover some sort of pride back. Shea Dunkley with the own goal on the third minute. Pepe, you might say, fortuitous, but fantastic ball whipped in from the left hand side from kind of shocking to see.
Of all people
as well. You kind of feel that maybe if Shea Dunkley doesn't get it, Bishop's there anyway to poke it
home. Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't really see it from where I was sat in the north stand up, where I was like, I didn't really know how it ended up going into the back of the net, but 2-3 minutes into the game, you don't really care, and especially when it's an own goal, and Bishop was there anyway, so it could have been a hat-trick for him. But no, I thought it was the perfect start for Pompey, and like Sam said, Shrewsbury were one of the worst teams I've seen come to Fratton Park in the first 20 minutes. I think there was no denying that. There's been a few poor teams coming to Fratton Park, but that first 20 minutes, Shrewsbury were right off the gas. They were flinging balls just straight out. The keeper was lumping it off the pitch, and you're just thinking, they're there for the taking. And once again, Pompey let them back in a little bit. But yeah, it was not the greatest first 20 minutes from Shrewsbury, and you don't really care how the goals come, even if it is the opposition defender just slamming it into the back of net in front of the front end.
At half time, Pompey had 72% of the ball possession stats, 72%. Shrewsbury had 28%. Shots wise, Pompey only had 2 on target, and of course, 2 goals, one of which being an own goal. Really going to emphasise, it wasn't the best performance of the season, but at this stage, it is just about grinding out those results and finding a way to win no matter what. Got some messages coming in on the emails. Linda says, not one of our best performances, but we got the 3 points. I think anyone watching on Saturday would have seen Yenge still has a lot to learn, especially with his back to the goal and strength required, but he will especially as this is his first season in the Football League, and watching Colby Bishop will help him. I still remember the pain of the 92-93 season when we finished third behind West Ham on goal difference and had to play Leicester in the playoffs. Then Leicester lost to Swindon, who were promoted to the Premier League, and I just want us to get it over the line. Play up Pompey. Linda on the emails. Dave Burns got in touch saying, not a great spectacle, but we won and it was for 3 points but mattered. I know that Colby Bishop got his goals, and I thought Owen Moxham and Sean Raggett were both excellent, and for me, shared my man of the match recognition. Didn't quite understand Neil Allen only giving Moxham a 6 out of 10. I'll have to speak to Neil on Saturday to find out why. Dave, who continues by saying, please for Colby to hit the 20 mark again. Disappointed with Yenge's contribution. Maybe it was just a case of not being his day, or perhaps the Bishop and Yenge partnership isn't exactly made in heaven. We are nearly there. Play up, Pompey. Dave on the emails. We are nearly there. Indeed, Dave. Now, on Saturday afternoon, in our post-match debrief here on Express FM's Pompey Live, we have the privilege of catching up with club director Eric Eisner, who has been over the he's been over for the Blues' trip to Wickham on Good Friday, as well as last week's game against Derby and Shrewsbury, of course, at Fratton Park on Saturday. We couldn't let Eric check back off to the States without getting his thoughts on the current situation.
We have a very special guest joining us on Pompey Live Extra Time. It is none other than Mr. Eric Eisner. Eric, thank you very much for coming up to speak to us.
Of course, thank you.
We were expecting you, Eric, for the game against Wickham, the Tuesday night visit of Derby County to Fratton Park as well. Was this a last-minute decision to stay in the UK, and what's this one?
No, but it was a strong negotiation with my wife to stay over for the last few days. But it's my daughter's birthday next week, so I have to get back, but I'll be back over.
Yeah. What did you make of today's game? Pulsating, really, but nervy at times for Pompey.
We definitely did not play our best game. Good teams win when they're not playing their best game. So, you know, it was a professional performance. Got comfortable at the end. I think you said it right before I came on. John got all the right changes. Incredibly important 3 points.
Yeah, indeed. How has it been watching Pompey from afar for the vast majority of this season? I bet you've been itching to try and be as many games as possible.
Well, when you, what are we, 40, how many are we, 42?
42 now,
42,
yeah.
And we've only lost 4 games. That's obviously pretty good.
Mm. Yeah. And John Massino's done an incredible job, not just this season, but of course the 13, 14 months since coming in. A very proud appointment, of course, to bring him into the club. What have you made of him, not just from what we see on the 90 minutes every Saturday, but just him as a person and the energy that he brings to the team?
I mean, I give credit to the whole staff. Talk about John specifically. John is incredible. When we interviewed him, we knew right away he was the right guy. You know, the fans didn't quite get it, but they didn't have the insight that we had in the interview process with him. But he just got it. He got what Portsmouth was about. He wanted to come, and he was the obvious choice for us.
Eric, if I could just follow on from that. Obviously, talk about the appointment of John, the appointment of Rich Hughes. How instrumental and influential has that been to where we are now?
Rich is essential to everything. Rich, you know, picks the targets and John develops them. So I'd say, I keep saying to everybody that no time limits, I say. Rich is, you know, one of the most important positions in the club. I think he's done a 10 out of 10. Couldn't have a better person in that position. Mm.
And speaking to John Massino and Richard Hughes in the Portsmouth Central Branch Supporters Club meeting just under a fortnight ago, just talking about, of course, the rest of the season, the preparations that goes on behind the scenes. There's a lot of hard work that goes on that none of us see. And, of course, preparations will always start for the next campaign months and months in advance, no matter what division you're in. And I'm sure now that with 1 foot really into the Championship now, 9 points clear of Bolton with only 4 games to play, there must be a lot of looking above now into the second division and how we can try and sustain ourselves there.
I mean, the reality is we've been planning for a long time. You never want to, you know, I use the analogy that you see the big mountain ahead of you, but you need to descend the mountain that you're on right now. But you can't climb that mountain without preparing for it. So we've been preparing for it all along. It's obviously getting closer and closer. Stadium works, celebrations, stuff like that, that will have to happen if in case we get there. I'm still not going to count it because we're closer than ever, but we are not over the line. I guess if we beat Bolton, technically we are promoted, yep. Correct? But we're not there yet, so I think we just got to keep focusing on the next game. And I know that's what John will be saying to the players. And, you know, but that said, we've been hard at work. You know, we have a motto in the staff that, you know, football never sleeps, and it's proven itself to be very true over 7 years.
And just finally, you touched upon there the work that's happened to Fratton Park, not just this season, over the course of the last 5, 6, 7 years. The Milton end, the introduction of home supporters in that stand, made a real big impact today. Shrewsbury, they won the coin toss at the beginning of the match. They chose to shoot towards the Milton end first, which restricted Pompey from going towards the Fratton end of the second half. But that makes no difference when you've got that many fans singing behind the goal there.
I still didn't like when they flipped us around. That said, it is a lot better now. You are correct. But there is something about scoring in the second half in the Pompey end. As they say, the ball flows into the Pompey, into the Fratton end, excuse me. But you're right. We have the huge support behind the goals, and the crowd can chant back and forth, and it's really made a big difference.
Eric, I really appreciate you coming up to talk to us this evening. Thank you very much for your time, and I'll let you get back off and celebrate those 3 points.
Great. Thank you, guys.
And a big thank you once again to Eric Eisner for coming up and joining us in the press box after the final whistle on Saturday. Sam, Eric spoke there about his pride in seeing the newly renovated Milton End, the rejuvenated Fratton Park atmosphere as a result of home fans in that part of the stadium. And he's not wrong, is he?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. And it's something that probably a lot of us didn't really expect, or didn't expect that the impact it was going to make. Having fans in there, even for Derby on Tuesday night, when they had 2,000 fans, but you had some Pompey fans in there as well. It just adds to the atmosphere. And even the games against the lesser teams, I mean, I don't respect all the Burton fans that came down, but that end would have been empty, usually. And that does push the team. And I think in those games, it does really help when you're playing against teams that are just naturally a smaller club. It feels like there's kind of noise coming from both ends. Also, as well, the fans in there are actually kind of starting chants, and I sit in the south stand, so it's not like certainly the most lively area of Fratton Park, but you can hear the Milton End getting chants going, and that's kind of like a crescendo going up to the Fratton, which is good.
And you could, at stages of Saturday Pepe as well, you could hear bounce around if you're top of the league, and that was going around the entire stadium. Even the south stand, as Sam mentioned, it's probably not the noisiest section of the stadium usually. It is the family stand after all, out of all the four stands, but even the south stand was absolutely buzzing on Saturday at certain points, particularly when we sort of made it 3-1 and pretty much confirmed the victory.
Yeah, absolutely. And where I sit in the north stand, you can sort of hear it from the Fratton end, and you can sort of hear different chants coming from the Milton end, and everyone bouncing at one stage. It was just felt like the whole place is together now. We haven't really seen that over the last couple of years, but this season it's been something different. And then obviously bringing the fans back into the Milton end, it's just brought everyone together. And it's not like the first time we haven't had fans in the Milton end. Before it got done up, it was fans were still there, but for some reason it's so much different, and they've added so much more atmosphere and support into the team, and it helps. It goes a long way, even back in January, where there were only like 1,000 fans allowed into the Milton end, Pompey fans, sorry. It just added something. And even John Messina mentioned it after the first game, I think it was, where fans were allowed back in. The team really noticed that, and then that sort of helped us over the second half of the season. And the atmosphere at Fratton Park, it's really become a fortress once again.
Marcus Deakins on the email said, another win, another step closer to promotion. Absolutely crazy to think that by 5 p.m. on Saturday, we could not only be promoted, but we could be promoted as champions. We've got 4 cup finals left this season, and 2 wins will be enough for the title, regardless of what anyone else does. One thing, though, after the campaign we've had, how are we supposed to pick just one player of a season? Yeah, very good point, Marcus. Thank you very much for getting in touch. Right, we are off for a very quick breather, but we've still got plenty to come in the third and final part of the show, including the thoughts of Jay Sadler after yesterday's win for the Pompey women over Plymouth at Wesley Park, a result that all but confirms their promotion to the Championship. He's been speaking about the plans for next Sunday, when promotion could be confirmed even without kicking a ball.
We're going to have a session on the Sunday, and then we're all going to go down to Fratton Park. Andy's just extended the invite, all the players, all the staff. Might open it out to fans as well, and what will be, obviously, if it happens. I want everyone to be together, everyone that's been a part of this journey, from turnstile operators to the PA all the way through to our, I want everyone to be together. Everyone's played a part in what has been a magnificent season.
Yeah, we'll get the full thoughts of Jay Sadler there, and the final comments from both Sam and Pepe too. That's all to come in just a few moments time, when we reach the conclusion of tonight's edition of the Football Hour.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Go by bus. Go greener with Stagecoach.
Next stop, a cleaner, greener future. Did you know that if we all ditch the car and switch to a bus just once a month for a year, we'd save the UK 2 million tonnes of CO2?
Switch to bus, because by switching, you can make a big difference. Get on board a Stagecoach bus for a cleaner, greener future. For more information, go to switchtobus.com.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
You're listening to Express FM, local radio for Portsmouth, and this is the Football Hour. Here with you every Monday and Friday night from 6 to deliver raw, passionate, pompy discussion with guest analysis, exclusive interviews and much, much more. This evening we have Sam Stone and Pepe Lacy to go through us what was a huge weekend for Portsmouth Football Club. We'll be catching up shortly with Jay Sadler and yesterday's victory for the women's side at Wesley Park. But let's just wrap up our reaction to Saturday's win for the men at PO4. And Pepe, that third and final goal that Colby Bishop won, the flick over from Christian Sadie to loft it to Bishop was something pretty magnificent.
Yeah, absolutely. It was such a well-worked goal and pretty much made by two players that came... Moxon started, sorry. Sadie really changed the game when he came on. I thought he just added such a big boost of energy, like we've sort of seen from him every time he has played in the last month or so. And that was seen once again on Saturday, and his lofted ball over the top, it was just a little dink, wasn't it? And then Bishop was there to pounce. He made a quick run into the box, and yeah, it was just a cool, calm finish. And yeah, I thought it all sort of stemmed from Sadie, really, and his sort of initiative to see the ball, to see where Bishop could be making that run and putting it into an area where Bishop will finish. And such a well-worked goal, and it all came from a corner, really, and yeah. Pompey just maintained that momentum and obviously were rewarded with a goal. So, yeah, no, it's like what we've seen from Pompey, really, a good bit of build-up play and then a nice, cute finish from Colby Bishop.
Let's look at the fixtures this midweek in League One then, Sam, because not really crucial ones for Pompey, because regardless of whatever happens with Peterborough and with Derby, Pompey will be promoted on Saturday with a win at Bolton. But I think we can probably be a bit selfish and say we want that title as well. We want to win the league title and become the first team this millennium to win all three of the EFL divisions, the Championship, League One and League Two, of course. Blackpool host Fleetwood Tuesday night. Bristol Rovers take on Reading. Charlton host Wigan Athletic. Cheltenham Town at home to Carlisle United. Leighton Orient against Exeter City. And Stevenage host Barnsley at the Lamex Stadium on Tuesday. But on Wednesday, Peterborough United at home to Port Vale and Wickham Wanderers against Derby County. So a reminder that even though Peterborough currently in League One have two games in hand on Pompey, they are 16 points behind, so even a win for them on Wednesday will see them up to 77 points. The maximum points total they can reach at this current stage is 92. Therefore, a win on Pompey will take them up to 93 and secure promotion. So it doesn't matter what Peterborough do, it is just down to Pompey. Barnsley can no longer catch the Blues. It is really only Bolton that we are quite wary of at this stage. But of course, we go there on Saturday. If we're wanting to wrap that title up then, Blues fans, a Derby County dropping points away at Wickham on Wednesday could go a long way in deciding who wins that League One title. They're currently 8 points behind Pompey in second. A win for Pompey at Bolton would, as I mentioned, take them up to 93 points. Dropping points for Derby on Wednesday could mean that a Blues win on Saturday, Sam, would wrap up that title. And to win promotion and the title on the same day at where Bolton would be something I don't think I'm even prepared for.
Yeah, don't get greedy, Jake. Don't get greedy.
We've been top for so long, I think I want that trophy now.
I'm just thinking about promotion for me. It'd be nice to get the job done on Saturday and then maybe tie the title up at Fratton Park. That'd probably be the ideal scenario, but I don't think Pompey fans are allowed to pick and choose when we're going to win the League One title. So I think it's something we want to get done as soon as possible, really. Also, just on Saturday's game, just because of Bolton's situation as well, I think that maybe needs to be talked about a little bit, because they are in dire need of points there. You know, with Derby, I think the Derby are points ahead of them, and you know, a win there could turn around their automatic promotion hopes. Yeah. So there's a lot riding on it for me. The pressure is on Bolton.
Yeah.
Pompey got four games to get a win. We should you know, the amount of wins you've racked up this season, we should get it done. Bolton, there's a lot of a defeat on Saturday, probably a Derby win probably means their hopes are done. So that's why it's such an intriguing game, and maybe that could play in Pompey's hands, because there's less pressure on the home side too. They've got to win. We've got to go there, and we know that we've got games in hand. Exactly. We've got games in spare, like in backup, in case we don't get the job done.
Realistically, a draw at Bolton on Saturday and follow up with a win on Tuesday night against Barnsley, that will confirm promotion.
Bolton as well. I think we're more than capable of going to beat Bolton.
Oh yeah,
they're you know, they've got a good home record, but Pompey have the best away record in the league. So, and we've been excellent away from home. I think there's every chance we can go and really, really cause some problems and get the result.
And Pompey this season currently haven't lost a game against any of the current top six, home or away. Right, it wasn't just the Blues men who took one giant leap toward promotion this weekend. The Pompey women also secured an important win in their own bid to reach the championship. Plymouth Argyle were in town yesterday afternoon, and it was Jay Sadler's side who secured the victory, back to winning ways with a 3-0 scoreline over Argyle at Wesley Park. And that is a win that puts them 9 points clear of Hashtag United in second place, with Hashtag only having 9 points left to play in their final match, three matches. Promotion to the Barclays Championship is all but confirmed. Hashtag will need to win all three of their remaining fixtures by quite some margin, with Pompey losing their final two games. The Blues have a goal difference of plus 66, whereas Hashtag have a goal difference of plus 23, meaning that there would also need to be a monumental goal difference swing if those results were to happen. It's worth noting that Pompey have only lost one league game all season up to this point, whilst also conceding just 7 goals in the process. For Hashtags to catch them, Pompey would have to lose both of their remaining two fixtures quite considerably, with Hashtag themselves absolutely thrashing all three of their remaining opponents. It is extremely unlikely. After a full-time whistle on Sunday afternoon, the Pompey Live teams caught up with head coach Jay Sadler.
I've probably enjoyed quite a few. I think since the Cardiff game where we won down 77 and we come back and 2-1, the character, professional performance today. There was moments that we weren't happy with, and we know we can be better. But when such... the game is such a magnitude of the game, it's huge. When there's such on the line, you've got to understand that pressure can creep in. And I thought we were ruthless, kept the clean sheet, 3 goals, and very, very close.
I mean, you can't say it just yet, but like you said, it wasn't vintage today necessarily, but it didn't have to be, and it's not the stage of the season where you worry too much about performances, is it?
Yeah, exactly. And we talk about it from the start of the season, that performances, it's all about churning out good performances, because then you get longevity of success and longevity of, and we're very process driven. But when you come into the last five and it's the business end of the season, it's about winning games, and you need to do whatever you can to win games of football. And at times when we did play, I thought we played some fantastic football, opened them up, created some good opportunities, and took the chances, which we didn't last week. So yeah, we just got to get the job done, and we've done it again today, and we've got 2 games left now, and we've just spoken to group, we've got 6 points available, we want 6 points, there's nothing stopping this group now.
You spoke about the magnitude of this game a couple of moments ago. There's been a lot of noise about this fixture. In the dressing room, in and around the week, how important has it been for you to try and shut the noise out as much as you possibly could?
Yeah, and it's interesting, because I hear it all the time about like embracing the noise and not listening to the noise. And I'll be honest, instead of shutting the door fully, I've left it too, and allowed a bit in, because they need to embrace it. And also, if we want to build mentality monsters, if we want to build people that are going to be able to, I don't know, embrace and play under that pressure, they need to feel it, ever so slightly. So we've been doing a lot of work with our psychologists around that. However, when the whistle blows, it's 90 minutes worth of football, and what will be, and what we get from it, we can then take on to the next bit. But it's just about embracing the position that they're in.
Well, that's it. And on that, the psychological aspect, I said to Reeva Casley, we just said it then to Mia Adaway, you want to get it done as soon as you can, because you want to get it done as soon as you can. But also, you got to. I believe this side, am I right in saying, you let yourself enjoy the good moments, and you want to make sure that this special season for this football club, you have the maximum amount of time to enjoy it and celebrate it, right?
100%. And they always say, I hear it all the time, never get too high when you win, and never get too low when you lose. 100%. But when you're that close and you're talking about getting high, we'll enjoy this. We will enjoy it, 100%. And we've got a job to do now. Obviously, next weekend, Hashtag play Ipswich. So it's a waiting game now, essentially. If Hashtag fail to lose, we can win it, which... people say, oh, you're not playing when you could win it. Listen, I've been at the club for 8 years. You've got players here that have played 5 years, 4 years. We'll take it when it comes. But what we need to do is not knock down the days and wave away time. We need to embrace and enjoy it, keep our standards high, because we've still got a season to go until the 5th of May. We've got four weeks left. So we've still got loads of training sessions, loads of games. We want maximum points, and we want to put ourselves in a real good position for if we were to go up, and keep the momentum going, because it's 17 unbeaten, I believe, now.
So what do you do next Sunday now? Because I'd imagine watching on is going to be more nerve-wracking than getting the job done yourself. Do you just detach yourself from it? Do you keep updated on the phone? Do you even go? What's the plan next Sunday, knowing that that game's there, then that could decide your fate?
Yeah, so to be honest, we're going to have a session on the Sunday, and then we're all going to go down to Fratton Park. Andy's just extended the invite. All the players, all the staff might open it out to fans as well. And what will be, obviously, if it happens, I want everyone to be together. Everyone that's that's been a part of this journey from turnstile operators to the PA all the way through to our official. I want everyone to be together. Everyone's played a part in what has been a magnificent season. And if it wasn't to be next Sunday, the focus continues as it has done every season. And we go to Cheltenham knowing a win, essentially a point, but we don't play for points. We play for all or nothing. We want 3 points there, and if it happens there, it happens there. If it doesn't, we then wait till the London Bees game, and that's the mindset that we're in. So just got to keep enjoying it, but we know it's very, very close.
And we spoke, final one before we let you go, we spoke to Reeva Casley pre-match, and she was mentioning that maybe if it were to happen, don't worry, she didn't say it will happen, she said if it were to happen, then during the summer there might be some kind of holiday away and Jazz Younger will be sort of sorting that and everything. Yeah. Who would you expect to be the key sort of operator when it comes to all the celebrations?
Well, Jazz has got a bit of time now. She's coming back from her injury. But I wouldn't be surprised if they all try to chip in, to be fair. Leitz will love it as well. Leitz, she'll be getting involved. But I think the one thing I love about it is we've got a group of players and staff that I think if there was a plane, I think every single person will be on it. Yeah. And we've got to enjoy it. So we know we've still got a job to do. And to be fair, Reeva's been one of our mentality monsters, to be fair. It was great to see a first goal for Pompey today, albeit from the spot. Good penalty from her. But yeah, it's a weird feeling, isn't it, knowing how close it is and you've got to have, what, a 45 goal swing or something, which...
Well, it's weird for us. I can't imagine what it must be like being in the squad while they're all managing. Like,
keep saying champagne on ice and how do you feel, but listen, we've done fantastically well this season. Two games to go. We want two wins, and whenever we can celebrate, wherever we can celebrate, we certainly will do.
Just want to mention Reeva taking that penalty when you've got Emily and Emma on the pitch. That takes a lot of courage to say, no, I'm the one taking this.
Yeah, and even quirky too, because I feel like she's trying to get herself on a score sheet too, doing a lot, same with Emma Jones, and it's not kind of coming off, but their work rate, tenacity, their efforts have been superb. And I did say to Reeva before the game, listen, if we were to get one, which we never seem to get them, if we do get them, then you've got to step up and take it and get your first Pompey goal. And just shows we've got goals from everywhere, we've got confidence from everywhere. But the other big thing with Reeva is the clean sheet. 14 clean or 15 clean sheets in 20 years. It's absolutely fantastic. It's the foundation we built our side on. If we're scoring goals, we're not conceding any, and that's surely the recipe for success.
Yeah, that there was head coach Jay Sadler speaking after yesterday's 3-0 victory over Plymouth Argyle, a result which pretty much confirms their place in the Barclays Championship for next season. But we will hold off our congratulations until it is confirmed. And the Pompey women not in action this weekend. They have two games remaining away at Cheltenham Town on Sunday the 21st of April and then their final match of the season against London Bees on Sunday the 5th of May. They could be promoted this Sunday without kicking a ball if hashtag failed to win in their fixture away at Ipswich Town. Sam Stone, Pepe Lacey, it's been a pleasure to have you both on this evening's show. Sam, thank you very much for coming back after so long away. It's been great to see you.
Oh, cheers, Jake. Yeah, hope to be celebrating with you. Well, not with you, but hopefully celebrating with... Well, you'll be in the press box.
Yeah, I'll be in it for a certain amount of time.
I have been in the press box. I have been in the press box with you at Bolton. Yes. I'll be very impressed if you manage to get yourself down to the pitch.
It's a long way up. Yeah,
get
up.
Get your parachute.
We'll try our best. Pepe Lacey, thank you very much for coming in as well. Pleasure as always, my friend.
Cheers, Jake. Yeah, no, I can't believe I'm... After last season's doubleheader at Bolton away, I can't believe I'm saying I want to go back to Bolton, but here we are.
Here we are indeed. And it should be, hopefully, a bit of a better weekend than it was last weekend. Yeah, two trips to Bolton last season in January in the Trophy and the League was not a good few days, but hopefully, like I said, that'll improve this weekend. Right, thank you very much for everyone for tuning in to tonight's show. It's been great to have you all get involved on the social media channels as well. Henry Deacon will be back on Wednesday evening for your next football fix here on Express FM. All of your local non-league news to talk about Wednesday evening from 6. I'll be back with Barry Clements and Joe Wood on Friday night to look ahead to the big one. Pompey travel to Bolton on Saturday knowing that a win will do it. Promotion to the Championship secured after 12 years away. If they win at the Tough Sheet Community Stadium on Saturday, how are your nerves? We will deliver the big preview of that game here on Friday evening from 6 o'clock. Up next, though, Jeff Dorsett is here with this week's helping of the Soft Rock Show. Good night, Pompey fans.